Praise the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. The great question that is asked and always will be asked is, can we qualify for the Lord to fight for us? Question isn't how great your battle is or how mighty your enemy is. The question is, ultimately, is God for you? Because Paul said, let's just stop all arguments. Let's shut to every mouth. If God be for you, what more should we say to these things? Why talk about it any further? Can you say, man, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? That's a rhetorical question. It answers itself. No one. Who can defeat God? If God stands between you and the enemy that intends to harm you, who can defeat him? Who can go through him to get to you? Can you say amen? So the shield of faith isn't just the force of your faith. It's the presence and power of your God that you have put your trust in. Make no mistake about it. The force of your faith alone is it puts you in control. And if you fail in any level, the fiery darts will get through. But if God stands between you and the enemy, that's a whole different story. And I can look at you and you can look at me and we should be able to discern who is letting God fight the battle and who is coming under the load. Because when you get under the load, it shows. When I get under the load, it shows. Can you say amen? If you are troubled today about your troubles, you're not fighting the good fight of faith. You're forgetting something. The battle is not yours if you've given it to God. Amen. Remember the Old Testament, the story? It's such a beautiful, beautiful story. I mean, Hezekiah was such a grand king, such a great king with such faith in God. But enemies come. It doesn't matter how godly you are. Amen. Enemies are going to come. And you're going to be tested. I'm going to be tested. And being a Christian doesn't remove that from you. In fact, it puts a target on you. Because if you're walking in victory as a child of God, you're an advertisement for God's kingdom that's going to draw people into it. Can you say, man, you gather with me, Jesus said, or you what? Or you scatter. There's no middle ground in this thing. Amen. You're either part of that Satan is using to discourage and dissuade people and tell them that what you've heard about God really isn't true, or you're part of those that is clearly, amen, testifying that your God is the living and true God. Can you say, man, that he's big enough to solve the problems of that crack addict out there? He's big enough to deliver the cocaine addict. He's big enough to set the captive free. He is a prayer answering God. He is mighty in battle. He does not lose victories. We are not victims of this fallen world or victims of Satan's devices. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Why? Because the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the message in the old covenant. That's the message, praise God. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Enemies come up against God's people. And it never lets up. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, nothing to do with your flesh, but mighty through God. While the Bible said while we are in the flesh, we have to admit, I don't mean in the flesh in terms of giving way to the flesh, giving place to our indulgences and temptations, but we are in this body. We are in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Ephesians 6:10 said, we argue not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand in the evil day, having done all. Stand. And when it says done all, it's not something for you to do. It's something that has been accomplished at the cross in your behalf. Literally in the Greek, it says having conquered all, or having overcome all, having, past tense. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How many in here believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, the Bible says whether you overcome or not, you are an overcomer. But you can't win this thing with your will. You can't win it with your flesh. You can't win it with your resolve. You can't even win it with your faith unless your faith is in the finished work of Christ at the cross. Hallelujah. Oh, you didn't hear me today. It's done. Everything that not only to forgive my sin, but to grant me victory. Amen. He's not only saved me, he sealed me with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Amen. We have been sealed. And you know what that means? That means you wear a mark. You're branded. You're branded people. You belong to God. You're God's property. While on this earth, this is not a wait and see thing. He saves you and immediately he seals you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He said, you're not the world's anymore. You're not the devil's anymore. You are bought with a price. And you are not your own even. You belong to God. The battle is not yours. Now the battle is God's. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God takes up the fight. Israel found themselves always in the minority, always outnumbered. If the battle wasn't the Lord's, they would have been annihilated, decimated, destroyed. But God always took up the fight in their behalf. He never let them fight alone. He came on the scene. He defended them. He told them, I gave men for you when I delivered you out of Egypt. See, even when God destroys an enemy, he takes it to heart, because these are souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere, not just bodies that are going to become lifeless. And God said, I gave men for you, Israel. They tried to stop you from leaving Egypt. I destroyed an army. I destroyed the firstborn sons. I gave men for you. The Bible said when he brought them out, he wanted Pharaoh to know it's not them, it's their God that's doing this. When he brought them out, the Bible said he brought them out with silver and gold. Number one, he didn't want them to be beholden to any other nation through indebtedness like we are right now in America. We are over-dependent on foreign oil. We are over-dependent to other nations. We have borrowed from China, red communist China, atheistic China. Can you say, man, we're deeply in debt to people who really don't like us. Can you say, man? And we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. So he brought them out with silver and gold. But he brought them out with such a deliverance that he forbid the dogs. It's in Psalm 105. He forbid the dogs. Not even a dog could open his mouth to bark. Now, we don't have security systems in my neighborhood. They tried to sell me one. And I pointed at my dog. And I said, right here's my alarm system. And in that bedroom in a drawer is a .38 caliber police special. I'm covered. My dog gonna bark, you come in my door. Ain't no doubt about it, he gonna bark. They got a dog that don't have to bark. Chocolate does not have to bark. Have anybody ever seen that dog? He's a junkyard dog. He's a big dog. He's a bad looking dog. He got a head this big around. I'm telling you, he got a mouth full of teeth. He got eyes that look, are they reddish brown? I don't know. I thought it was just me in fear making the. That dog got red eyes. They said, you want to see chocolate? And I said, oh, yeah, help me, Jesus. Oh, yeah, save me, Lord. Did he do that? Yeah, he did. Oh, chocolate. He was a stray, and they took him in, and he loves them for taking him in. Big old pit bull, big old head, big reddish-brown eyes. Oh, chocolate, man. He don't have to do nothing. Just look at him at the door, and you say, no, siree. No, I go down the road to that other house. Problem is, across the street, they got two pit bulls. Ain't no alarm systems in your neighborhood either. Everybody got a pit bull. I don't have a pit bull. I got a little dog. But let me tell you, it is so important to understand. You know, the Bible said if the good man had known what hour the thief would come. And I'm not just talking about the coming of Christ alone. If he knew when the thief was coming, he would not, no way, allow his house to be broken into. If a policeman come to me and said, there's a thief in your neighborhood, and he's going to start at the other end. He starts about midnight. And I believe that he's going to be at your house at about 3 a.m. Do you want us to be out here about that time? You know, what would you say? If you knew he was coming. If you knew he was coming. Amen. Now this lady here said, don't call the popo. I don't need no popo at my dodo. She said, I would be prepared. Can you say amen? Ain't no thief going to come in. Are you packing? Okay, I knew she was. I could tell it. And she said, know how to shoot it too. Wow. Listen, if you know the thief is coming, you're prepared. Well, listen, this battle is not ours. That's the whole point that I'm driving at. We have a security system here. We have a battle partner in the Holy Spirit. When he said, I am with you, it means to win this battle, to fight this fight. He's not just, listen to me, he's not here just to give you a liver shiver on Sunday morning. He is here as a battle partner. Can you say amen? You fight in your flesh, you will give out, you will give in, and you will give up before it's over. Because you will absolutely be de-energized. You have a limit. You have a breaking point. I preach to myself often, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall overcome if you faint not. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. Everybody here has limits. And the Holy Spirit has come to be your battle partner. He's come to take up the slack. He's come to make up the difference. And when we fight the good fight of faith, we fight with an understanding of what Jesus has already done at the cross. And we plead the blood of Jesus. And we proclaim the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we lean upon the Holy Spirit for everything. For everything. It's an awful feeling to feel powerless and alone in life's struggles. We feel hopeless when we realize how helpless we are in and of ourselves. And it won't take you long to get to the end of yourself. Can you say, man? It just doesn't take long. In the Old Testament, there is story after story after story after story. And the stories are not fairy tales and fables. They are historic events in the life of the ancient Israel when God took up the battle. Can you say amen? In fact, he told them, you shall not have to fight at all in this battle, for the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And you know when he made that statement through a prophet to ancient Israel? When they confessed, the king himself confessed, we have no might nor power to go out against this enemy. We have no personal resources to fight this enemy, but our eyes are on you. Can you say amen? See, today they're teaching you how to have the might, how to have the power to go out. Your anointing, your faith. No, it's your God. It's your God. It's His presence. It's His promise. It's His pledge to never leave you nor forsake you. The battle is either yours or it's His. If the battle is yours, you can give out and you can give up. If the battle is His, you can't lose because He can't be defeated. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you how this works. Amen. The king says, we have no might. That's the admission that every Christian should make. And it's not a bad confession. It's the truth. You're no match for this spiritual adversary. Amen. That's why you have to take on His armor. But remember, it's His armor. His faith. His righteousness. His salvation. His peace. Can you say amen? Paul said, I will pray with my understanding, but it doesn't stop there. I will pray with the Spirit. Can you say amen? The Bible said, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, not just so you can join some elite bunch of Christians that are putting themselves on a pedestal. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost so you can have a battle partner, so you cannot do this in yourself. Can you say amen? Amen. This is not about who can talk in tongues the longest or the loudest. This is about who can overcome. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you're not a Christian, Scripture declares that you're without God and without hope in this present world. If you are a Christian, have good news. You're not alone. You're never alone. God doesn't expect you to do this in yourself, even through building up your faith. Your faith can falter. Your faith can fail. Doesn't matter who you are. Amen. So Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Hallelujah. The one that said, I'll never forsake you, is keeping His pledge and promise to me. I am not alone. It is not all about me. When I was down in Asia, I won't have you to be ignorant of the trouble we had, how we were pressed beyond measure. Everybody has a breaking point. And despaired of life itself. Amen. That's called weary and well-doing. That's saying, Lord, just take me on to heaven because I can't stand this anymore. That's not this idea that you can build your faith to such a hyper level. You can work independent from God through the force of your faith. That is baloney. Every time you hear it, you need to understand. Amen. When they confess, we have no might or power, but our eyes are on you. A prophet stood up and said, from this very moment, right here and right now, amen, the battle isn't yours anymore. The battle belongs to the Lord. Can you say? Amen. And how did God bring that forth? He said, don't send your soldiers out. Get the singers. Those temple worshipers that sang His praises. Go get the choir. So I want you to know, if someone comes out here and pulls a gun and said, you Christians, come out here, I'm sending the choir. He said he's going to send his angel. This wasn't just the choir. These were these worshipers that worship God in the temple. Tell them to go out. And tell them to sing a revelation, a fundamental truth about God. And to sing it over and over again. Go out and sing this before the enemy. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. They were making a declaration that the covenant God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a good God, and His mercies are new every morning, and we don't have to fear any enemy. Amen. Amen. And the Bible said that spirit of confusion became confused. An allied army, three different groups of people allied and covenant together to come against one little group of people. Suddenly they became confused. Their battle plans, their brains went to mush. They became confused. They didn't know what was up and what was down, who was the enemy and who wasn't. They looked at everybody by their side and said, "He don't look like one of mine. He must be one of theirs right here among us." And he stabs him through. And the guy beside of him said, "He don't look like one of my comrades. They have infiltrated our ranks." And he whacks him on the head with a battle axe. And they're standing there, they're still singing, "The Lord is good." Because God took up the fight. He said, "You shall not have to fight in this battle. Your natural resources aren't going to be needed, thank you. The battle is the Lord's. The battle belongs to the Lord." When you go to, listen, the Holy Ghost is here. You go to God in prayer. You can't feel any faith. You've prayed until there's not a prayer left in you. Paul said, "Let Him pray. Let 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 Him pray." Praise God. He prays in the perfect will of God. What you're praying for may be not exactly what is needed to be prayed to get the result that God wants to achieve. He knows. And He prays according to what? The will of God. And when we defer to Him, we confess, "I have not the strength, and I don't know everything, but I know one who does. And He's here with me. I'm not alone." Can you say, man? I'm not alone. Let me address this need for help in John 16, real quick, in verse 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto thee." In other words, it's advantageous. That's what expedient means. It's advantageous for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Can you say amen? See, He couldn't be with everybody in His physical body. He couldn't be with everybody in every place all at once. But He said, "If I go to my Father and sit down at His right hand, and come back to you through the Holy Spirit, can you say amen? I'll send you another Comforter and He'll be with you. I can be with every one of you every minute of the day, everywhere you are, all at one time." Isn't that incredible? Praise the Lord. John 14, 16 through 18. Listen to what Jesus says again, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter." And literally that means another one like myself. Another one like myself. He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Glory to God. Literally in the Greek it says, "I will come back to you." So keeping a promise, go and preach the gospel everywhere, and lo, I'm with you. Always. That's why I believe we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles, because the Bible said they went everywhere in obedience to take the gospel to the lost and dying world. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Somebody said, "We got a Bible. We don't need the signs." Honey, everybody's got a book. What distinguishes our book from the Koran? What distinguishes our book from Buddha's books? What distinguishes distinguishes our God from the gods who are no gods. Amen. He's not a man-made God. He's the God who made man. Hallelujah. Amen. And this gospel didn't come in word only. They were not astute enough, articulate enough to convince the world with all of their eloquent words and teachings. But it came in power, and it came in the Holy Ghost, and it came with much assurance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're so good at doing church, aren't we? We're so good at teaching and preaching. Amen. But we're not very good at convincing the gainsaying world. Because that battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 If you don't encounter the presence of God here, we're going to have a scholastic schoolroom setting, where you can get a lot of stuff in your head and barely anything in your heart. If the Holy Ghost shows up, the target is the heart. He goes for the heart. The Bible said Peter preached, their heart was pricked. Can you say amen? 3,000 came to Christ. But what happened when the heart got pricked? What must we do to be saved? Deep conviction came upon them with revelation that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Comforter in the Greek is paraclete. The most common rendering of that and practical rendering is one called alongside for help. I used to see comforter, and I thought of my granny's down-filled quilt. Get up in that bed, feel safe and secure, belly full of biscuits. Can you say amen? Pork chops. Get up in there and pull that comforter up over you. Wrap up in it. But listen, that comforter, you know, you get pork chops in your belly and biscuits, and then you pull that comforter over you. You're ready to saw some logs. And I look, Holy Spirit, just come and wrap me up. Just make me feel the warm fuzzies in my trial and test. You're not here to make you feel warm fuzzies. Paraclete is more than the sick room. It is for the courtroom. In England, it would be a barrister. Here, it would be a legal representative that is defending, one that acts in behalf of another. But it's more than even that. And I want you to get this just before we close today. In the book Healing for the Masculine Soul, Gordon Dalby says, and he said when Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the helper, he uses the Greek word paraclete. And it was an ancient warrior's term. Isn't that incredible? An ancient warrior's term. Greek soldiers went into battle in pairs. Isn't it amazing? How did Jesus send His warriors out? Two by two. Can you say amen? Two by two. If two of you on earth, come on, shall agree as touching anything, they shall ask. Where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there am I. There am I. Where? In the midst of them. Can you say amen? Listen to it carefully. They went to battle and they always picked a battle partner. There was always, and here's the reason for it. So when the enemy attacked or they engaged the enemy, they could draw together with their battle partner, back to back, covering each other's blind side. Would you please get your sword? I need a battle partner. I want you to come out here. He got a shirt on, says he's ready for war. This shirt is illegal in 52 countries. Got a cross on it. We're at war. Make no mistake about it. Can you say amen? You got your sword. Okay. My battle partner. Back to back. Back to back. Back to back. Back to back. When Paul said, I will pray with my understanding. I'll use the word of God the best I know how. But I won't stop there to win this thing. Amen. I will also pray with the Spirit. I will defer to the Spirit. Amen. When I pray, amen, my understanding, when He prays, my understanding is unfruitful. I don't even know what He's saying. But I know that He's praying in the distinct, direct, perfect, revealed will of God. Can you say amen? And when I defer to Him, the battle is no longer mine. How do you pray for a loved one? You pray, God bring them to naught, or God bless them so they'll know that you're so good. What do they really need? What do they need? What do they really need? God knows how to bring them in. Hallelujah. You know, if you're a mama, I know how you pray for your kids. Lord, protect them, keep them, prosper them. That's not how you get prodigals home all the time. Can you say, man, sometimes they've got to come to an end of themselves. Are you going to pray that? I doubt you will. Can you say, man? And then again, you may pray that, and God's going to use the other way. On some, having compassion makes the difference. But others are having to be jerked out of the fire as a firebrand before it's consumed. Amen. Some of them is going to take a yank to get them out. So we have to defer to our battle partner. Sometimes I give out. And when I give out, I want to give up. Because I'm tired. I'm worn down. But He isn't. If they're really laying it on here, watch me close, battle partner, about face. All right, now, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it. It's the only way I'm going to survive. Can you say amen? I've got to acknowledge I have no more might, Lord. I went as far as I can go. I went as far as Bobby's faith, Bobby's strength, Bobby's intelligence can take him. But Lord, I have not exhausted my resources because the Holy Ghost is here. Can you say amen? He's the Paraclete. Oh no! They're coming this way again. Now He's fighting them live ones, and I'm saying, boy, looky here, what victory. Glory to God. But I know the truth. The truth is, without Him, I'm going down. Without Him, you're going down. But with Him, we're all going up. Can you say amen? There's victory for God's people. For the battle belongs to the Lord. Don't ever look within yourself for this strength. This strength comes from your battle partner. Though we were in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are pure, holy, praiseworthy, lovely, and of good report, amen, think on these things. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And that word sound mind is a military term. It means disciplined. It means your thoughts do not run any which way. They are focused on the one who said, look unto me. Looking unto Jesus, who is the what? Author and finisher of your faith. Make no mistake about it. This is not a magic book. This is a book of truth. But you can't just get faith by reading words. Amen. When you read this book, a person is revealed in that is so trustworthy. Hallelujah, that He beckons you and challenges you to put your trust in Him. Amen. We have no might, but our eyes are what? Our eyes are on You. That's what Paul was talking about. You don't need might as long as you keep your eyes on Him. Because He, not just the Word, but the person who said it, the epitome, the personification, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was personified. It was made flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. Open this Bible, the person's going to stand up. Say, look at me. Look to me. Praise God. looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One's battle partner was called his paraclete. The Holy Spirit is our battle partner to help us defeat our, listen, not just your the enemy of your soul, your own weakness and inability. Yes. Amen? I think we got to over-focus on the devil and to under-focus on this old weak flesh. And a lot of things we're blaming him for is our old weak flesh. Amen? One preacher said the Holy Ghost is to the believer what a phone booth was to Clark Kent. Anybody remember Superman? What happened in the phone booth? Yeah. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. More powerful than a locomotive. Strange visitor from another planet. I never did understand that, because a guy could shoot him until the gun was empty and he put his big chest out there and all the bullets bounced off of him. God would shoot him. He's so frustrated that he can't tell him. He throws a gun at him. Superman duck. Yeah, he did. He ducked. You saw that on TV. I did too. I was just a kid. I said, that ain't right. You shoot the man 6 times and throw a gun at him, he ducks. Remember Muhammad Ali? See, we're not Superman, but we got a battle partner. It's the battle partner. Come on, he's the one. Hallelujah. Listen, Muhammad Ali was going to the Thrilla in Manila. He was on his way to the Philippines to fight Frazier, Joe Frazier, I believe it was. The Thrilla in Manila, they call that historic fight. He got on that plane, 98-pound Filipino stewardess, walking the aisle, seeing that everybody's buckled in, because that little sign, come on, little ding, buckle your seatbelt. He's sitting there with his seatbelt unbuckled, all sprawled out, you know, full of confidence. And she walked by him and said, "Champ, buckle up." He looked back at her with a big old grin and said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." She looked back at him and said, "Superman don't need no airplane either." And the champ buckled up. I'm going to tell you something. Some preachers, you would absolutely believe that if you opened them up here, you would see a big blue jumpsuit with a big red S on it. Honey, it ain't so. While we are in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Paul said, have no confidence in the flesh. Not that we are sufficient as of anything, as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of the Lord. The battle is never yours. The battle is always his. Can you say amen? Come on, battle-weary soldier. Praise God. If you're a prayer warrior, when you come out of the prayer closet, don't bring the burden with you. Don't bring it with you. Leave it with God. Hallelujah. You got a battle partner. Hallelujah. Listen to what Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and the Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. This power in the Greek is dunamis, and it means supernatural ability or capacity. Paul, who said, I'm not sufficient in myself, he confessed, I'm all sufficient in Jesus Christ. Can you say, man, our sufficiency is of the Lord. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And how does he do that? He sent us one who would fill us with dunamis, supernatural ability or capacity. Don't ever look within yourself for this strength. This comes from your battle partner. Say, Brother Rimbaud, I feel so weak and I feel so overwhelmed. Doesn't matter if you've got a battle partner, because he don't feel that way. And he's called alongside of you to help you win this thing. Not in your strength, but in his. Amen. We have no might nor power to go out against this great enemy, but our eyes are on you. Prophet stands up at that moment after that confession. See, the confession now is, I have all power, I have all strength, I have all wisdom, I'm the man. No, you're not. That's not how this power came. That's not how God's power came on the scene. We're seeing the power of persuasiveness. We're seeing the power of big money in ministry that can build big churches and big names. But we're not seeing the lame walk. We're not seeing demons cast out. Come on, we're not seeing it. Can you? With all of this faith talk, we just don't see it. We see people get out of a wheelchair and take a few steps and the crowd goes wild, sit back down in it and go home crippled. That's not the power that we're talking about. That's the power of persuasiveness. That's the power of being big and putting on a big show. When the captive is set free, when the blind receive their sight, I'm not talking about just the physically blind, but the God of this world has blinded the minds of men. When those chains are broken, those shackles and prison houses are emptied, hallelujah. God is doing something by His Spirit. It's not by might. See, that's what overwhelms us. There's a mountain of opposition to everything that God purposes. Satan fights what he fears. He can't defeat God. His only hope is defeating you and defeating me. Taking the vision from us. Getting us to quit praying. Getting us to believe God isn't listening. It'll never happen. It's doing worse than when we began to pray. You've got to let your battle partner take up this fight. I'm no match for this kind of stuff in myself. I will pray with my understanding. I will pray with the Spirit. This is not too much pizza. This is not Pentecostal foolishness. This is not self-edification. This is war. And no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he might be a good soldier to him that called him. Endure hardness as a, what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. God didn't promise you, amen, anything in this world but tribulation and His promise to not leave you when it happens. Can you say, man, it's going to happen, but He's going to be there. And He wants you to lean on Him when it does. Praise God, the pressure is not going to let up. I used to think if we conquer this one, that giant is down. We don't have to worry about other giants. But I found out that they're the sons of Anak out there. You know who Anak was? He was a giant, and he was from a race of giants. So you don't have to take down just one. Others are coming. But if you've seen the one fall, you don't have to fear the rest of it. Saul said he's too big to fight. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He wasn't going to fight in his strength. He knew God was going to take up the battle. Amen. He said, you come to me with sword and spear. Look at him. And they tried to put it on him. You're going to need my armor if you're going up against this man. David put it on. But then he realized, what am I doing? I can't go fight this as just a regular warrior in Saul's armor. Saul's army with his armor. His armor don't mean squat. He won't fight this man. Nobody in his military will fight this man. I didn't overcome the lion and bear because I was bigger and badder than the lion and the bear. God's Spirit came. God's Spirit. This is a supernatural thing that's going to happen. It's not dependent on me. God is defending Israel. God has a covenant with Israel. You come in me with sword and spear. He threw that armor on the ground. Praise God. Hallelujah. Picked up his little old sling. Picked up some smooth stones from the brook. They're selling them on TV. Look like something out of the bottom of a fish bowl. Yeah. My dad got one of those stones for free. Then got half a prophecy in the mail. 17 dollars for the rest of it. Sent for the rest of it, and the rest of it said there's a whole lot more. And I see $70. My dad threw the thing down. I said, you shouldn't have sent the 17. Yeah. And Christianity's full of them. That's why we need Bible study. Can you say amen? You don't sell prophecy. Because it ain't for sale. You're redeemed with nothing that silver and gold can purchase. None of these things come. These are gifts of the Spirit. Can you say amen? They're gifts that have been bought and paid for by Jesus at Calvary. Hallelujah. It's our pleasure to give them away. Glory to God in His great name and in His behalf. Go to our website. You know what they told me? They said, you need to get PayPal. Their intentions were good. Amen. If we get all of them people coming, if they all gave a buck when they came, look at the bucks that would pour in. Amen. That's the problem. Amen. People are gun shy of ministry websites because they're going to get this when they go there. Amen. Not a handout to help and a handout to give. Such as I have, give I thee. It's such as you have, give thou me. Amen. And they're gun shy. Without God's Spirit, we're going to have to bar this door. Without God's Spirit, the gospel won't go outside of these walls. God is doing something by His Spirit. It is supernatural. Amen. We couldn't make this happen. We're not big enough or influential, and we don't have the money. It's God's Spirit doing this. Amen. It's like that mountain. God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I say, Lord, how in the world are we in our present condition supposed to keep the Great Commission? He said, it's not up to you, amen, to do it in yourself. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers into the field. Who is the Lord of the harvest? I won't leave you coverless. I'll send you another. He'll be with you, and lo, I'm with you always. Can you say amen? The Lord of the harvest is here. It's not up to me and my ingenuity and us and our little treasury. The Lord of the harvest has got a hold of this thing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Lord of the harvest has got a hold of this thing. Glory to God. The Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest has a hold of this thing. Praise God. You see those pins? It's where the gospel has went on this planet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Could we make that happen? No. Why is it happening? The Lord of the harvest. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Can you say amen? That's where what you're hearing today is going in the world. How can this possibly be from this little old church out here on the corner with a handful of people? Because we have a heart, amen, to freely we receive, to freely give. And God is honoring His word. If I started right now with enough money to fly to every one of these places these pens are and preach, I couldn't go there in the rest of my lifetime. But I've already been there. Shalabakusandarabaritita. Shalabakisalabariti. Shalabakulabanandarabo. Salabariti andarabokosala. Nandarababahasada. Zerubbabel, I want you to get this done for me. The moment he sees clearly the vision of what God's once done, he sees the mountain of opposition in the way. And the mountain is overwhelming him. How can I have a heart to fulfill the call. I have a heart to obey. I have a heart to accomplish. But the mountain is there, and it's undeniably there. Standing there in his dilemma, God speaks to him. The mountain that stands before you shall become a plain. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Don't tell me we don't need a battle partner. Can you say amen? God's things are bigger than us, Brother Taylor. bigger than our intelligence, bigger than our ingenuity, bigger than our energy level, bigger than our resources in the natural. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. They're supernatural. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And that's what the Lord is moving this morning to accomplish in us, that the battle is not yours. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord. We must lean more on the Lord and take courage in the day of battle. If I had a mirror, I would say that directly to me. I must lean more on the Lord and take courage in the day of battle. Here's how Charles Finney, who won tens of thousands to Christ, a great prayer warrior and revivalist, he gave him, this is how God gave him mighty infillings of the Holy Ghost. Listen, and I'm going to quote. "That went through me as it seemed, body and soul." This is in a time of protected prayer. "I immediately found myself endued with such power from on high that a few words dropped here and there to individuals were means of their immediate conversion." He said, what God did, I just said a few words and people just melted and came to Christ. Today we got the most articulate, eloquent preachers you've ever heard. But we don't see people running to altars, weeping in contrition and repentance. Amen? "My words seemed to fasten like barbed arrows in the souls of men. They cut like a sword. They broke the heart like a hammer. Sometimes I would find myself in great measure empty of this power. I would then set aside a day for private fasting and prayer. After humbling myself and crying out for help, the power would return upon me with all its freshness. This has been the experience of my life. I refuse to preach with my own ability. I will quit preaching for a day. I will go into a private place. I will fast and pray until I feel His precious presence again."
Hallelujah.
On the day of Pentecost, a man, a fisherman by trade, walked out of the upper room. Amen. And he began to speak with God's authority and anointing. And the Bible said, the people were wondering, what is all of this about? And he said, these men and brethren, these men are not drunk as you suppose. This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And while he was speaking and declaring Jesus to them, their hearts were pricked, and 3,000 came to Christ. Because he told them, don't run out and preach. Go and tarry until your battle partner shows up. Go and wait until you're endued with power from on high. And that is not some theological seminary. Not against going to a theological seminary, but you don't depend on your learning through your professor. You depend on the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Without Him, it's a seminar. It's a great class. But the heart isn't pricked, and the heart isn't challenged, and the life isn't changed. Praise God. Someone said the Holy Ghost transformed lives in biblical times. He still transformed today. Hallelujah. I believe that. I believe that every person in this room needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I don't believe you're up to it. You know why? Because I'm not. And I've been walking the King's Highway for a long, long time. I've been preaching His Word for 4 decades, 38 here, the Holy Church of God. Amen. I would not be here today preaching if it were not for my battle partner. Can you say amen? But He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you. And He's with me today. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. God's amazing grace has provided for His presence in our life. Isn't that incredible today? Hallelujah. I don't just pray. There's some people I go to pray for, and honestly, it's like a backlash. Their situation's like a backlash in a reel. Remember the old reels? You do like that and you have to keep your thumb on it. If you don't, it just goes completely haywire and crazy, and you work all day. The fish have went to lunch. Can you say amen? I mean, the fish are out to lunch. They ain't biting. I'm telling you, you work all day on that, you can't fish. After a while, you get frustrated and just try to cut it all up and get it off and put some new. I mean, it's a terrible thing. There's some things so messed up. Amen. I don't know how to pray. I don't know where to pray. Lord, bless them, hug them, whip them. What do you do? What do you do? What's it going to take? But the Holy Ghost knows. He knows. He knows exactly what it's going to take. Can you say amen? And sometimes I go to pray and I say, Lord, I don't know how to pray in faith because there's so much compromise. There's so much rebellion. There's so many things people know to do and they're not doing it. And they're giving place to the devil. And how am I going to pray blessing on that mess? Amen. Amen. You ever seen the little sign? Real popular with us. Bless, Lord, bless this mess. God ain't gonna bless no mess. He ain't gonna bless no mess. Amen. He ain't gonna take no mess either. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. If God is for you, it's gonna solve the problem. I'm gonna tell you right now. If God be for me, problem solved. Glory to God. Amen. If God is for, I gotta make sure I'm right with God, Brother Taylor. Hallelujah. Because I'll never be right with everybody. There's gonna be people didn't like Jesus. Don't expect them to be all huggy on you all the time. Can you say amen? Come on, you can't please everybody. But there's one you can't afford not to please. When a man's ways please the Lord, amen, he takes up the battle. And it says he's even able to make his enemies be at peace with them. That doesn't mean that he's going to come and hug your neck and give you a big sloppy wet kiss on the cheek. It means that he's going to back off because he knows he can't win. Can you say amen? He's going to have to come to terms with you because he's got to deal with you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen. He that touches you, he said to his covenant people, touches me. Praise God. Amen. Are you hearing me? You're not alone. The battle is the Lord's. Woo! Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet today. I believe we need to give it to God right now. I'm 65. I have preached the gospel as a pastor of the Holy Church of God for 38 years. If I retired and just did evangelistic work, radio, media, no one could call me a quitter. But if I quit, because it would be easy to quit, and God didn't tell me to quit, and because I was overwhelmed, then guess what? Whatever he wants for the rest of my life is going to come to a screeching halt pastorally. And I don't believe he's done with me right here. I believe you needed to hear this message right here today. And I believe a man that's been in them deep valleys is the man to preach it to you. Not somebody that claims to live on a mountaintop through his own faith. Honey, if you're on a mountaintop, somebody hauled your hide up there. Can you say amen? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you didn't climb up there all by yourself. Remember when the first American, it was in National Geographic, he planted the first flag on, what's that mountain over in Nepal? Everest. There's a picture of him in one of the old National Geographic, the first American to climb to the top of Mount Everest and plant the American flag on the top. Well, there's a backstory to that. And the rest of the story is this, that he had hired one of those mountain men, Sherpa guide, to take him up the face of that mountain. And when he got up in that thin air, he wasn't used to breathing it. They even put oxygen on him sometimes at that height. But that guide, he was a mountain man. And when he got to the top, that American with the flag, mountain climber, extraordinaire, was too exhausted to reach the summit. But that Sherpa guide crested the top and pulled him up. And when he got to the top, he planted the flag. But there's a nameless man that if it wasn't for him, he'd have never reached the summit. He'd have to turn around and go all the way back down. You know what happens when God grants a victory to some of us? We plant our flag. And it says, look what my faith has done. No, without him, apart from him, what can we do? Absolutely nothing. But through him, amen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but through mighty, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. The natural is traded for the supernatural. The anointing qualifies, the anointing transforms, and the anointing assures us that God is with us today. And I don't know what you're fighting. I fight a battle on many fronts. I have a family front, just like you. The devil fights through family. Jesus promised it. Your enemies shall be they, your unsaved family, and sometimes your saved family that's not walking with God. Doesn't matter. Sometimes the family of God itself. Amen. The body of Christ. Yes. We hurt one another. We're known as the only army in the world that kills its own wounded. Amen. When he gets down, kick him. No, when he gets down, lift him up. Go to such a one in a spirit of meekness and restore them. Can you say amen? Restore them. Listen, we got to get past all of this. God is going to pull us through if we keep our eyes on him. Fight the good fight of faith. I fight a family battle, and it's ongoing. I fight a battle to minister. Amen. You think ministry is just a piece of cake? No. The devil hates every word that comes from God's book. He hates us to talk about Jesus. He hates us to propagate, proclaim the gospel to the world, and he fights tooth and toenail. Can you say amen? But his teeth nor his toenails are not long enough or strong enough to stop God if we keep our eyes on him. Amen. And my eyes are squarely on him today. Praise God. Amen. He has brought us this far. Hallelujah. He has provided somehow, some way. He has met the need. Praise God. And I'm expecting, because the needs are greater, I expect greater miracles, greater supernatural events to occur. Hallelujah. Because we have no might nor strength, but our eyes are on him. How about it? How about your eyes? Are they on him today? Praise the Lord. Amen. Right now, I want you to give whatever's bothering you to him. I want you to give it to him. There are people carrying burdens you ought not carry. Amen. We stopped ourselves talking the other day about things that begin to press us down. We caught ourselves being pressed down. And I said, we got to get this out. It's not that it's not important. It's not that we don't need to pray about it. But having prayed about it, we need to give it to God. Leave it there. Can you say amen? The battle, God has to take up this battle. And I believe he is. I believe there's going to be some things happen that is just going to absolutely, amen, amaze you and amaze me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. When the enemy comes in like a flood, is it not written, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him? I stand ready to give you the victory that I have promised you and provided for you. Put your trust in me and stand your ground, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 The Old Testament put it this way to the men of ancient Israel. Be strong, therefore, and very courageous, and fight for your houses, your lands, your sons, and your daughters. Can you say amen? But be sure that when you fight the good fight of faith. Otherwise, you'll give out, and I would have given out a long time ago. Marlena used to sing a song. I'm still looking for a tape. If anybody took it out of my office, please bring it back. There's a tape of Marlena singing. She used to sing one song that seemed to connect more than any other song. I ain't no ways tired, because most of us is always tired. Amen. And we just wondered, is it possible to be in a place in the Lord where we run and don't get weary? Amen. And we walk and we do not faint. There is lifting up in Jesus today. There is mounting up with the wings of an eagle. There is hope for your life and for mine and for this ministry and this church. Praise God. Lampstands can be returned as soon as we do our first works. God says, return to me, and what happens? I return to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I believe that His hand is strong in this place for a purpose to be accomplished here. Praise the Lord. And I believe this is the year for that to happen. And I give myself to Him for that purpose. Hallelujah. Praise God. I get tired. Amen. I get worn out. I get frustrated. But I have a battle partner. I am not alone in this battle, and neither are you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him as we close. How many in this room would say, Pastor, I need that fresh oil that the Bible talked about? Psalm 92 talked about fresh oil. It said, I will anoint you with fresh oil. The Bible talks about times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord. And when He anoints with fresh oil, He said, I will exalt your horn like the unicorn. That's that symbol of power. Can you say, man, I'll increase your strength. Your power with God means you're going to have strength within that you didn't have before. And you're going to have God taking up the fight. He said, and I'll make you fruitful like the date palm. I looked up the date palm. I want to see how fruitful is it. Amen. It was over 100 times. It was 100-fold is what that thing would bear each year. It was just full of dates. One palm could give you a big basket full of date harvest. Amen. When the Word of God gets working in us, it brings forth fruit 30, 60, and some 100-fold. But it doesn't come by itself. It's preached with power and with the anointing. Can you say amen? And when it's received in that good ground heart, things begin to change within, and when it changes within, it starts changing without. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm excited about what the Lord has said to us today, because He's investing in us. Amen. Why bother telling us all this if He's just going to let us sit here and languish? He's investing in us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Father, we praise you. Let's just lift up our hands for a praise song.